Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Morning, Bob. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm well. How are you guys?
I'm all right. Had a couple days to just kind of kick around, not worry about things too much. You've been writing. You've been covering track championships. What's going on there?
Well, yeah, the track meet's out in Eugene, Oregon. It's on ESPN2 the next couple nights and ESPN on Saturday. Yeah, they do the men Wednesday and Friday, and the women start today and conclude Saturday. Yeah, it was a rough night, honestly, for the Razorbacks last night. Wayne Pinnock, who's a three-time long jump champion, got fifth. You know, not bad, All-American, but they were expecting a win. And Patrick Kiprock was right there in second place, the 10K with about 2.5 laps to go. A guy came up on him, tripped him from behind, accidental, obviously ran up on him, however you want to put it. And he went down and managed to get up and get an eighth, but that didn't go well. And Philip Lemonius, their defending champion, 110 hurdles, didn't advance. James Benson, who was, I think, ranked sixth in the 400, didn't advance. So, not a good night. I was thinking they were, out of those guys I just was talking about, you were thinking maybe they'd get 20 points and, you know, they're going to get five. So, honestly, it's going to be really hard for them to win the national championship after what happened last night. Don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, just the way it went.
Well, I guess that's how it goes out sometimes. It's kind of how it went this last weekend for Arkansas baseball. It's a little bit of a backslide this year. And, man, I guess maybe you could see the foundation shaking maybe a little bit about a month before the season came to an end when starting pitching started to founder a little bit. And you had a rotation of three, then you were down to a rotation of one. I still feel, Bob, like Arkansas, if they could have won last Saturday, might have been able to continue to advance, but can't lose the games that Hagan Smith pitches. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, like you say, the rotation, you know, Brady Tiger wasn't even on the roster. I guess he'd had some soreness. Hope it's nothing more serious than that, or with him being draft eligible and everything. And Mason Molina, he'd had a couple good bullpen outings, but didn't have a good start against Southeast Missouri State. I think when Gabe Gackel had to come in to pitch three innings against Southeast Missouri State, that was kind of a sign that, man, this could be a rough weekend. But you're right, if Hagan Smith pitches his usual game, which is, say, lights out, they win Saturday night, and then I think they have a great shot to win that regional, because then they just have to win one more game, and then they're sitting here waiting for, I guess, Virginia to come. But it didn't happen. You have to give Kansas State credit for having a great approach against Hagan and working a couple walks, getting a couple, you know, kind of C&I singles or balls that bounced over the guys. Those are still hits. And then obviously Culpepper, their great shortstop, got the big three-run home run. And, you know, if somebody said Hagan Smith was going to give up 6 earned runs in an inning, I would have said they, you know, what were they drinking or smoking or both or whatever. But it, I mean, it happened. It was just a really bad time for the best pitcher in the country to have not just a bad start, but really a bad inning, because those four innings before that, he was striking guys out and looking like his usual self. And it was just, but yeah, when Arkansas lost that game, it was going to be very tough, and give Simo credit for beating them the next day. But I think Arkansas just didn't have, I think it was very hard for them to come back and play after losing to Kansas State like they did with their ace on the mound.
Hey, Bob, who do you got winning Omaha this year? I know a lot of people kind of think that curse might be broken of the, what's it been, 25 years since the number one seed has won it. Who do you got winning it this year?
Yeah, I think 1999 Miami, I mean, Tennessee is the number one seed, and they're playing lights out. I don't think it's a cakewalk against Evansville within the Super Regional. I mean, obviously, Tennessee is heavily favored, but I guess I got to go with Tennessee and our guy Tony Vitello. I mean, Tony's a Mizzou grad, and he coached here at Arkansas. I know him and Dave got into it, whatever that was, a couple of years ago. But I think that's all patched up, so I'm going to go with Tennessee. You figure the number one seed has to win sometime, but I think it's pretty wide open, honestly. But if I had to pick a team, I'd go with Tennessee.
Man, if I was picking somebody to root for, just for the only reason, just to get rid of these curses that we talk about, I would root for Tennessee just to get this number one thing over with. But I really have a tough time going there. maybe I'll root for Oregon State, the program that doesn't know how they're going to schedule the team next year, how they're actually going to have a baseball program without a league to play in. That's who I'll root for. I'll root for the little guy. And right now in major college sports, if we're looking at like power teams, Oregon State still is, for the time being, they're the last vestige of the Pac-12. And when they're done, then it's over. Then they're no longer a power team, Bob.
Yeah, you've got Oregon State and Washington State. I was telling somebody about this from Oregon at the track regionals last week, or a couple weeks ago, that at the Pac-12 track meet, there was a lot of talk about, you know, this is the last Pac-12 track meet. Well, there's still going to be a Pac-12. I guess it's going to be Washington State and Oregon State and some combination of Mountain West teams. But obviously the Pac-12 as we know it is going away. And that's sad in a lot of ways. I mean, think about if you're watching women's softball, the Women's College World Series, you got Texas and OU. So is that a Big 12 matchup or is that an SEC matchup? Because obviously they're both still in the Big 12. I guess when this series ends, they're in the SEC. I mean, Texas know you're at the SEC meeting. So just a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I think it's funny. I don't know how many Arkansas fans could root for Oregon State. And I know some fans love Tony. Some fans don't like Tony. You've got another former Arkansas assistant, an Arkansas native, in Wes Johnson in Georgia. They're in a super regional against NC State, I think it is. So you do have a couple Arkansas connections. Obviously, people would rather have the Razorbacks in the super regionals, but you do have a couple Arkansas connections in there.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Oregon. I'll stay in the Pac-12. They're playing A&M, so I'll go for somebody to beat A&M. Hey, Bob, are you will you be paying attention? NBA Finals Game One. Well, I mean, I guess we can get to this Dan Hurley stuff first if you want to. Do you think Dan Hurley is he going to be the next Lakers coach?
Man, I saw that on.
Are you surprised? Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, he's got obviously a very good thing going at UConn. On the one hand, I'm sure he could stay there for the rest of his life and then win at a high level. Would he win some more national championships? Maybe. No guarantee with all the craziness in college sports these days. And UConn, one thing, college sports is really based so much on TV, football TV revenue now. And UConn's...
They were 45th last year in basketball operations, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, is what he's doing at UConn sustainable moving forward with NIL and the transfer portal and everything else? I mean, there's such kids are, schools and the NCAA are getting sued left and right. They're employees now. There's this, they're going to be paying, can you kind of afford to be paying back pay $20 million a year for the next 10 years? I mean, there's a lot of variables in there. And also, he really has nowhere to go but down at UConn. He's won the last two national titles, and I could try to be the first coach, I guess, since John Wooden won 6 in a row. I could try to become the first coach to win 3 straight national championships in men's basketball, and that's certainly a worthy goal to chase after. But, he's still I think he's in his late 40s maybe, so he's still relatively young by coaching standards. And I haven't seen the contracts, but I'm sure the Lakers are going to throw a pile of money at him, probably more than UConn or any college could afford, especially in today's economic reality. And so if he goes to the Lakers, he's got 2 stars in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, obviously aging stars, but there's something for you to build around for the next couple of years maybe and then see what happens. And let's face it, if he goes to the Lakers and falls on his face, he's going to make a ton of money either way. And then he's going to be the hottest commodity in college basketball, kind of like Billy Donovan. I mean, Billy Donovan could have had the Kentucky job, I think. Or if Billy Donovan decided to go back to college basketball, he'd get an A1 job tomorrow. And he's done okay in the NBA. He had won a title. but he's had some good teams. The Bulls, you know, were not good this past year, but, you know, college coaches going to the NBA has kind of been a mixed bag. And then you've had a guy like Eric Musselman who did it the other way and went from the NBA to college and has had a lot of success. So, yeah, I did not see that one coming, but I certainly can. I mean, kudos to everybody for keeping a secret in this day and age, but certainly if I can see him going to the Lakers, I can see why he would do it. Because, you know, on the one hand, like I say, he's got a really nice thing going at UConn, a great thing going, but maybe he's looking for a new challenge, and certainly the Lakers would represent that. And also, he's not following Phil Jackson or Pat Riley with the Lakers. He's, all due respect to Darvin Ham, he's following a coach who got fired, not a coach who's won a bunch of championships. So there's a lot of upside I can see from Dan Hurley. I don't want to say it's no risk, but like I say, if he goes there, he's going to make a ton of money, and if it doesn't work out, he'll be the hottest commodity in college basketball.
Hey, Bob, so this last athletics calendar, when you look at really from soccer all the way to baseball, with a couple of exceptions, gymnastics being one of them, volleyball being another, in terms of on-field success and what programs did in the postseason, if they made it there, there were steps backward in a lot of cases. In all the teams that we talk about here, there were steps backward. Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball all had less success than the year before, mostly in regular season victories for baseball in terms of how far they went in the postseason. That's 2 years in a row. There's been a little bit of a backslide. I think this next season is really important just to try to get some of the mojo going forward. And I think in basketball that'll happen. I mean, baseball, we don't know what the team's going to look like. We have no clue. Like 4/5 of them are gone. We just expect they're going to win. Hopefully 2024-25 involves maybe an uptick instead of a little bit of a downtick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that Dave Van Horn's kind of a victim of his own success, right? That he wins the SEC West for the fifth time in 6 years and is a number one, not number one seed, but top eight seed, and has an incredible regular season. But now baseball is becoming more like basketball, I think, especially an elite program like Arkansas. What you do in the regular season is really dwarfed by what you do in the postseason. It's like, you know, LSU, they didn't have a good regular season. I think at one point they were 3-9, but they made the NCAA tournament. They almost went to a super regional. So LSU fans are probably happier now than they were a month ago, right? And then you look at South Carolina, they fired Mark Kingston, their coach, because he did okay, but he didn't meet the standards that Ray Tanner had set by winning national championships. You know, Mark Kingston, I think he got to two super regionals, including one here where Arkansas beat him. And so South Carolina, that's a marquee opening right there, you know. And so there's more pressure than ever on coaches to win. And, you know, Dave Van Horn, I think it's safe to say he's safe until he decides to retire. But he's created really super-duper high expectations, and you know, they invest a lot of money in facilities. Dave's very well paid. I think he's worth every penny of it. And a lot of these coaches are very well paid now in baseball. And so, but yeah, the pressure's on for Arkansas because, you know, not to get out of your own regional 2 years in a row, that's certainly not the expectation.
Well, it feels like, I think Matt has a list of things here on our rundown. And there's something you put here, Matt, that I think is probably right. The highlight of the year for athletics is hiring Coach Cal. It's nothing that happened on the field, right? I mean, that's the thing that got Arkansas probably the biggest national spotlight in a positive way, is hiring John Calipari.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, a huge story and, you know, a huge get for Arkansas. And, you know, after a tough year, you know, I mean, the team loses, and then Eric Musselman has been a very successful coach, leaves. And even though the season didn't go as expected, I think a lot of people we're sad to see Eric leave because he'd had so much success. He'd taken Arkansas to the Elite Eight back-to-back years where they had not been since the back-to-back Final Fours in 94-95 when they won it all and got to the title game again in 95. And so, but then you hire John Calipari. It's just such a big splash, you know. And I will say this, you know, women's track, I know the track and field is not as high on the radar, but the women did win the indoor championship, Chris Johnson's first year, and I think they've got a really good shot to win outdoors in Eugene. So they still could get a title, You know, Arkansas could still win a title in UGA. I just don't think it'll be the men. And the women, there's no guarantee, but they could bring it home. But yeah, Matt makes a great point there about Cal. That's the biggest storyline in college basketball. I think that's fair to say.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Hey sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Matt, it feels weird to be talking about a potential coaching change, major coaching change for the back-to-back national championship winning basketball team on June the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would have made sense after Cal left Kentucky. Didn't it seem Kentucky tried to zero in on Dan Hurley? And I think he told them in no uncertain terms, no thank you.
Right after the national championship game, like that was part of the storyline, was how he said how happy he was to be there. Or he had to talk to his wife, I think, is what he said, yeah.
UConn basketball is a unique brand. Nobody, like, even with, like, John Wooden at UCLA,
they're the modern, I think, since 99.
They had a major college football program with a major rivalry. I mean, it was a basketball school with a giant football team, too, at the same time, right?
They're in L.A., yeah.
Mm-hmm, right. Nobody thinks about, like, UConn baseball is actually in a super regional. UConn baseball got out of the Norman regional as a 3 seed. And who are they playing? They're at Florida State, you know, so there's the two basketball programs and then baseball and then hockey. That's actually a really successful athletics department outside of football, which is the coal in the engine of the train that is college sports. So if you get in Hurley's mind here, and this is wild because I see John Fanta, who I think was on the Morning Rush today, talking or tweeting about Hurley met with his players at UConn this morning. And he told them, I'm in talks with the Lakers, because he didn't want to hide it. After it's come out, of course, you know, now you got to at least admit it to these guys. And he says, they have a noon practice. And Hurley told his players, it's business as usual for now. Okay? Think about that. These players, every last one of them, have the freedom to enter the transfer portal if Dan Hurley takes this offer from the Lakers. And yet right now, an hour ago when this tweet came out, they're supposed to act as if it's business as usual. Hey, guys, let's go have a practice. Maybe the last time you guys ever practiced together, but let's go do it. Let's work on these things that we're not going to be implementing next year when some of you are wearing different uniforms. This is a crazy situation. Thought the basketball portal closed a month ago. It may end up opening for one team and then another team after that. Like, I think you're right, too, Matt, because you'd said, I see, like, already there are guesses who's going to replace Dan Hurley at UConn. And somebody sends out this whole article of why Bruce Pearl is the perfect guest. Be like, nobody's going to leave the SEC for a sinking ship that is the Big East. Sorry, they're not going to have the money to pay what you can make when you're doing it here in the Southeastern Conference, independent of how good of a basketball conference that is. Like, the Big East is one of the conferences that's getting screwed in this NCAA lawsuit that they've settled, or the lawsuits that they've settled. That to me might also be another reason why you think about getting out of there.
Well, I think of Spurrier when he left from Florida, you know, national championship winning coach. He was the hot stuff and went to the Redskins at the time and really didn't get it done. Saban, same thing, wins the national title, goes to Miami, can't get it done. Billy Donovan, when he left Florida after those titles, don't forget, he went to Russell Westbrook's, James Harden, and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
That's why that's what I'm leaving college for. I'm not leaving UConn, which I know it's a totally different landscape now in college basketball, NIL. Everything's just totally different now with this free agency. You're going to I get the whole money thing, but LeBron might have 1 year left at this B-minus LeBron that he is. And B-minus LeBron is still a top 30 player in the NBA. You know, he's just not what he was. What are you going to? When I look at those coaches, Billy Donovan went to a good situation. Spurrier didn't go to a good situation. Saban didn't go to a good situation. Harbaugh, he's the next one that he went to a quarterback, right? Who do you have at L.A.? Anthony Davis, bona fide superstar. He's a first-team All-NBA. He's in his prime right now. Yes, sir. That's all you have in the West. That's not a team that's going to do anything. I don't know. That's what attracts you to that job if you're other than the fact that it's the L.A. Lakers. There's nobody on that team.
That's got to be what it is.
They have no cap space. You should see the people. They have nothing. Like, what are they? They're going to be an 8 seed, 9 seed again next year, maybe playing in the play-in game. You look at how deep that West is, and look at Minnesota's going to be better. Oklahoma City's going to be better. You start going down the list, man, it's going to be a long year for the Lakers. I don't think it's an attractive job as that I think everybody else is making it be, other than it's an you go from this, you know, small college populated town to an international worldwide brand.
Well, what about also the difference in the intensity of the game? Like, there aren't that many coaches that are as intense in the game itself, and then even in the immediate and the post game, than Dan Hurley. I mean, he's a lightning rod. I mean, he's gotten into shouting matches with opposing fans. He consistently berates officials. Not a lot of stuff that would play in the NBA. So it's not that he can't like understand what you got to do as a coach in these cases, but you can't really like burn that brightly as a head coach in the NBA. Like, you gotta, why do the players load manage, right? Why do you talk about how the NBA regular season bores you sometimes? Because it doesn't feel like it matters as much. It's just not as much energy that's put into the regular season than the postseason, until maybe, you know, you realize we got a jockey for position in the standings. This guy seems built for college basketball.
When you see the young teams have success in the regular season because they're still figuring it out. You know, Oklahoma City, great success. And you look in the East with Indiana, young teams, regular season, they're doing their thing. But the older teams, they understand the longevity of it. They understand the battles. They understand you got to win 4 7-game series in high-intensity playoff basketball. The regular season doesn't matter as much. If you're a younger team trying to figure out your identity, I get it. Yeah, you're playing every game. It just means something different to other teams, and that's what you see.
But that another reason to take this job is the chat. Look, it's not the Orlando Magic, it's not the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's not the Indiana Pacers. This is like taking over the Yankees. Nobody would ever come out of college baseball to be a manager in the major leagues. I think that's happened once, and it's just the way you build teams are so different that I just can't see it's going to happen from 1 year to the next. I think you got a guy like Pat Murphy that it took him, what, 9 or 10 years when he left college baseball to eventually get a full-time gig as a manager in the big leagues, and he's doing well with the Brewers. But, like, this is like taking over the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Lakers,
Apple,
are
Microsoft.
That's exactly right.
Nike. It's the biggest brand out there. It's New York Knicks. That's why they want the Knicks. But the Lakers, when you think basketball, you got to say LA Lakers.
It's that franchise. And independent of what could happen this next year, unless it's a complete meltdown and it becomes obvious that he's not made for the professional game, that he can't, you know, handle the length of the season or all of that, I just would expect that a guy that's won 2 national championships in college, if he does jump over to the NBA, you know, he's got to maybe change his approach a little bit. That doesn't take away any of his intelligence and ability to game plan and knowledge of the sport, and even the complexities of the differences between how you got to coach college players to how you got to coach grown men who are professionals that are getting paid $35 million. But it's that team. You know, it's it would seem to me like this is different than John Calipari leaving UMass to coach the Nets. You know, he hadn't reached the pinnacle at UMass. The Nets
and the
were,
Nets weren't anybody
the
at
Nets
that
were
time.
The bottom of the barrel,
that's
man.
Right, no.
Well, the Lakers really weren't any good this year, but they're still the Lakers.
They've won a title in the last 5 years, though. I mean, I know it was the bubble title, but they've won an NBA championship in the last 5 years.
Justin says coaches are leaving college more regularly. And they already have been, Justin. I mean, just look at the coaches that have already left. You've had college head coaches, I think, leave for coordinator positions in the NFL. But this to me feels a little bit different than that. Like, if you're able to maneuver through the last 2 years of college basketball and win a national championship, like,
how much?
It's pretty brilliant.
Here's the one thing, and this is what I kind of, I guess, to my point, what I was saying earlier. If you're going to take the Lakers head coaching job, you have to have full autonomy, like Bill Parcells. Like, I have to be in charge of the GM role as well. Like, you have to be. That's the only way I do it. I don't want somebody else picking out my players and then I gotta go coach these guys. You know, it's like I have to be in that meeting room too. I have to have a say. What my opinion, my voice has to matter on the evaluation of talent and the players, because whoever's running their front office in there, they're not doing the best of jobs right
well,
now.
Well, you read that they're involving Anthony Davis in the selection of the coach. I mean, this is like reverse recruitment. What a college coach would be used to is, you know, the player's not on the team and he's choosing what coach to go play for. Now you get a guy like AD, and it makes sense. I mean, you want to keep him happy.
He's the guy. Yeah, it's his team.
You want to keep him happy. It's reverse recruitment. He's like helping pick the coach that's going to coach him.
You can get, you know, I want, they have the 17th or 19th pick. That guard from UConn who was a true freshman this year. I mean, his athletic ability, and that's the thing too. How many years are you giving him? You know, so you know LeBron has 1-2 years tops, right? Is this the plan where it's like, are you still going to be the coach after LeBron leaves? Because when LeBron leaves and when that all goes down, it's not going to be pretty. They're not going to win an NBA championship, and then LeBron's going to retire. They're going to miss the playoffs. He's going to get something. Something's going to happen, and it's going to end. It's not going to be pretty. So do you keep that head coach, or do you just change it all again?
You know, Matt, and on the other side of this conversation, like if he were to leave UConn right now, they're screwed. They're screwed for a while. You can understand you can rebuild a team in a year. But you realize how bad they'll be this next year unless whomever it is that they would replace Hurley with finds a way to convince every guy on that roster to stay. They're going to stink. It's the kind of thing that they would fall from being the most envied program in the country right now. 5 national championships in what? The last 24, 25 years? The most envied program in the country to one that's got to scrape the bottom of the barrel to find players potentially. It's crazy to think about that.
BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA Finals and Stanley Cup playoffs this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to the online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of their over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
So the NBA Finals starting today, Matt, and not only are we talking about Dan Hurley potentially taking over the Lakers and leaving UConn, but we're also talking about a potential $76 billion television package that the NBA is about to consummate with NBC, Amazon, and ESPN. This reported by the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago would be just under $7 billion per year, knocking TNT out of it. $76 billion is a 265% increase upon the current TV contracts that the NBA sits on. And they already are paying players in the $40 million a year range. We just saw, what was the cap increase in the NFL? There was like $30 or $35 million, I think.
It was the biggest jump they've had in 2 decades. Yeah.
You're about to have maybe even a bigger jump in the salary cap in the NBA.
$76 billion, that is a big number.
Yeah, Amazon going NBA and Netflix going NFL. It's
and maybe SEC.
It's get them while you can because it's I mean, that's it. It's the last. It's everybody else. You binge watch. I mean, what's a show that? Is there any type of show? Like, I know you're not really like a big TV guy.
I've been watching Peaky Blinders.
Is that a thing that comes out at Thursday at 7? You know,
but y'all binge it all now.
That's what I mean. Like, everything's binge watchable. You just wait for it to come out and your buddies and y'all watch it together in 3 days or whatever. And then you talk about it. Yeah.
Well, what's happening now, too, is like, think about the idea of how the letters NBA and TNT go together like peanut butter and jelly. Well, NBA and NBC went together. To me, they went together like better than peanut butter and jelly back in the day. So, you know, what these next, you've already had all the negotiations as far as the NFL is concerned, as far as college football is concerned and college basketball that goes along with it. But I mean, there was a time that the NCAA tournament and CBS were not synonymous. This is what's going on right now is that sooner or later, it feels weird to think about this, but we're going to feel like ESPN and, well, not that's not the right way to put it. This Netflix thing, I think they're trying to get the Netflix somehow involved in the SEC. Is there ever going to be a point where the SEC football and Netflix go together hand in hand like they do right now with ESPN, like they did with CBS for all these years? You know, it's the... That's what's happening now is now taking away TNT out of the NBA. Well, now you start throwing Amazon in there. People will get used to NBC again. They might miss some of the hosts and announcers that have been on TNT. But once that music plays, you know, it'll feel like home for a lot of people.
Rashad might even come back.
That's right. Get Bob Costas back over there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple callers on hold. Let's take a call from Cecil here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Hi, Cecil. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, fellas? One is, if Hurley would even think about taking a Laker job, he crazy. There's no way I would walk away from a dynasty coaching position to go to a team, a franchise. I'm not saying don't go to the NBA, Coach Hurley. I say, don't take the Laker job. Just look at it. They a coach that does great, that wins and goes to playoffs back to back, and then they get rid of them. Why would you even do that? It might be the same for you. It might even be worse. You know, and then the Lakers are old. You know, I Lakers are my team. Oklahoma City is definitely my team, but the Lakers have always been my team. But then you got LeBron. I think LeBron can play 3 more years tops. That's it. But then I looked at the roster the other day, and they're old, man. I mean, they're old. The NBA is young. I mean, that's why Oklahoma City's so good. That's why incompetitive like Minnesota, because they're young. But it's no way I would do that. I would not even think about a job like that. Now, four is what's the name from Duke? That they said was going to get the job. I mean, he can go back to and grab the microphone. He good. But you leaving a University of Connecticut to go to the Lakers, come on. That is not good.
Like, you know, one of the things that Matt had said about this, Cecil, and I think he's right, this is independent of the money. It's independent of the franchise that you're going to. When you're a coach in college athletics, you're also a general manager. You pick who's playing for you. Well, you try to pick who's playing for you.
You have a little more power, right? A little more control of what's going on, the situation.
You're not answering to a general manager. You're answering to an athletics director, and that's not a person that's making the transactions for you. If I'm leaving, this is what Cal did when he left UMass. He wasn't just the coach of the Nets. He was the general manager of the Nets, too. You want to have that power. You know, so to me, it's not just about this next year and what the roster looks like right now. It's how much power will Dan Hurley have if he takes the job to reshape the roster the way that he sees fit?
It could be something great for him. I mean, regardless, it's got to be a rebuilding thing. I mean, there's no way, just like Matt said, Lakers ain't going to win nothing in the West. They're not going to win. Oh, let me say one more thing before I get off, y'all. Boston, and I'm riding with Dallas. I know Dallas is going to win a championship, but tonight Dallas will cover the 6 points. And I'll talk back with y'all tomorrow.
Cecil said, book it. We'll see if he's right about that. 877-377-6963. Robert's here in Fort Smith. And hello, Robert. I know who you think isn't winning the College World Series. It's Tennessee. What's going on?
Yes, I haven't got to talk to you since I was talking, and I'm not getting into the day thing. But let me ask you this. I would gladly give up some wins at home so we could go, and people are going to be like, why? To go on the road on the regional. Because I feel like there were that 16,000 people cheering for you, and the guy out with the news, whatever, was so pumped up. But then when, you know, and you're with the people, they go up on the road. And you got a few fans. But I just think they would do so much better if we quit winning so many games at home and then get on the road for that overall outcome, not just shortcoming. And I just don't see what your thoughts are.
Well, I mean, Robert, all I have are the results of the last three postseason series or regionals at BOM, and they've been tournaments or series that Arkansas hasn't made it out of. They've lost the last three postseason weekends at Paul Walker Stadium, which to me for the last 2 years, and even in 2021, because they won every turn of every weekend that season up until the Super Regional. Now, I mean, look, part of it is you're playing teams then who by that point know how to win games. That was a thing that worried me going into the last weekend, was that you were playing a team in SEMO that just knew how to win games recently. And K-State was the biggest surprise. That's the program we all slept on. I think we all slept on K-State. But to be undefeated at home, like, this is wild. 2021, 2023, 2024. It's not undefeated, just never a losing weekend, never a losing week at home until the last week. And it doesn't make much sense to me. Is it the weight of the expectations? Is it the you know, that once you trail, things quiet a little bit, is because you can feel a little bit of that in the regular season, and they usually answer the bell. So I'm not sure where to go with it. I do know that they've won the last three road regionals or super regionals. So these are things that, for as good as they play at home in the regular season, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I don't know. Maybe next year. Here's the wild thing about this is, if next year Arkansas is playing at a level of a 2 or a 3 seed going into the NCAA tournament, everybody's going to be calling for Dave's head. Because they won't be playing at the level that they were just playing in February, March, and April. So I don't know. It's like you want it one way, and you're going to go into the postseason then not having any expectations or thinking, gosh, this team's no good, like you probably thought in 2022 when they went on the road and won 2 and then finished 3rd in the country. I think part of this is just try to make sense of college baseball, and you're going to be shown reasons that you really don't know what you're talking about, because this is the drunkest sport on earth.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation, or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Brad, how you doing today? What's new?
I'm all right, Phil. Still kind of probably like you, digesting and kind of kicking around that last weekend for Arkansas baseball. But moving on, you got a couple of days off to try and ease the pain, but I'm still kind of sorting through it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing the same thing. We've had a lot of texters and callers trying to do the same thing, and it takes a little bit of time, you know, to work through it. And, you know, first you got to work through the disappointment of not reaching a level where you felt the team should be, and how it all happened and everything. And, you know, I'm not in a forward-looking mode yet. I'm still looking backward. If I look forward, I'm like, wow, there's just a lot to rebuild here, and you just trust the coaches to rebuild a good team. But when I look backwards, I think to myself, man, they kind of had – they had Kansas State right where they wanted them, and I think if that fifth inning on Saturday goes differently, we might be having a different conversation today.
Kind of felt like the same thing. You know, even after the first game, though, against SEMO, I told a few people, I thought, boy, they're in trouble. And this came after a 17-run outburst and a win. I just kind of felt like they used a lot of their A-team pitchers that I thought they would save for Saturday or Sunday. And then my fortunes kind of changed, Phil, because – before Arkansas even plays again with Hagen on Saturday, you know, La Tech is out. Two and Barbecue is the 2 seed. The 3 seed had been there all night, had to come back early to play another game and go home and then come back again. It didn't feel like the perfect scenario to face Hagen Smith. And then with all of what Arkansas looked to have in their favor, you know, it certainly did not work out. And, you know, it's just disappointing, I think, when they hadn't lost back-to-back home games all year and just 3 total home games all year to see back-to-back home losses end the season. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they didn't lose back-to-back home games last year either at all. So yeah, it had been a long time since that had happened, and it felt like there were some moments where things were really in their favor. And I'm with you. If that fifth inning goes differently, if they're able to win, and, you know, there's so much power to being up 2-0 in the regional, but, boy, it didn't happen. And then Sunday was just not much fun.
No, it really wasn't. And I don't know if anybody could say, like, they saw that, you know, coming the way that it did come. But, you know, Robert and Fort Smith had called up about this earlier, and I wonder about this, too. It's not just this year and the year before. It's also 2021. You know, that's three seasons out of the last 4 that Arkansas has been has not lost back-to-back games at home until the end of the season at home with back-to-back losses or 2 losses. And, I mean, what is it about the post? Is it better teams? Because I don't think that they faced better teams this weekend. I think with TCU, yeah. NC State, yeah, they just ended up catching fire. I didn't think the 2 teams that Arkansas lost to this last weekend were better than them. What is it about playing at home in the postseason right now, Brett?
It's a great question. I think it's one that all coaches that get knocked out have to go and ask themselves. You know, you're right. Last year, you could kind of claim that TCU was the hot team, and they were. And NC State was a hot team a couple of years ago, and they got through Arkansas in a super. I don't think that'll be the case with K-State or SEMO. And, you know, Arkansas did lose 9 of 13 down the stretch. And all of those teams are either in the postseason or they would reach the postseason. I just don't know, Phil. And I think probably you and I together, I was thinking of this earlier today. I bet we probably combined have called 7,000 baseball games. It gives us, I hope, perspective on the sport and the game, but it doesn't mean we have the answers either. And I'm wondering if Arkansas isn't in a similar spot to maybe what the Dodgers are in or what the Dallas Cowboys are in. Because I think Oliver sent out after the regional, Arkansas has won more games than anybody else in college baseball since 2017, and I'm guessing that's 2018 on, which is the exact time I got here and started doing games. So while I've been here joining you, they've been the best, winningest college baseball team in the country. Hasn't always translated to Omaha or titles. And I guess like the Cowboys or like the Dodgers, you have to ask yourself, is what you're doing in the regular season to be successful, does that hurt you in the postseason? Is it just the randomness of a weekend and not playing well at the right time? And this is where I think coaches and managers and whatnot earn their money, because that's if you change the way you attack the regular season, you're risking not hosting, you're risking maybe not winning as many games. But do you roll it back the same way with different personnel and the same processes and hoping for different results next year in the regional? I don't know. But everything I thought I knew, Phil, I've had to kind of ask myself, because to me it felt like hosting was the most important thing. Being a top 8 seed, Arkansas has had that the last couple of years, and it just hasn't quite translated.
Yeah, but you remember what happened in 2022. It's like a lot of people gave up on that team, and because they had seen the results on the field. They'd lost a home series to Vanderbilt. They lost to Alabama when they had a chance to win a division. It just was a team that was struggling. Then they goes 2-and-out in Hoover, and then they end up in Omaha by playing on the road. It's just like these last 4 seasons, you look at the results in the regular season compared to the postseason, and that's where I think to myself, it's like, yeah, any experience you got with this game just doesn't matter, because you really don't ever know. And some people will say, oh, you could see this coming 2 months ago. Well, I guess they're brilliant then, because there are a lot of people who've been watching tens of thousands of baseball games over the course of their career that didn't see this coming.
Well, I didn't. I mean, we weren't immune to what their struggles were and their areas of concern, but I felt like coming off Hoover, you get home, you rest. And Dave talked about this being tired, and as he explained it, it made sense to me. But they did have some extra time off, that the draw was favorable. It was at home. K-State was a 3 seed. The 2 seed gets knocked out. K-State barely got in the regional of 64 teams. And I didn't see it coming. And I don't know, Phil, if there is an element of pressure. We talked about this a couple of months ago. With women's basketball, they're really trying to figure out if they can get away from the 16 host sites, the top 16 teams hosting. They want a little more of a neutral feel like the men's tournament. And I just watched a couple of teams, and Iowa was one of them with Caitlin Clark, where I felt like they played their worst in those 2 games at home. And it's because everybody expects you to win, and you're supposed to win, and teams come at you. And when things go a little bit sideways, does that pressure turn against you? And, you know, I almost feel like in women's basketball, when you get through that hosting, you kind of relax a little bit because the pressure is off. I don't know how you quantify that or how you understand it, but I mean, we all see it when Arkansas falls behind 6-2 or they fall behind early to SEMO, how it becomes a tough situation to try and navigate. And it, all of a sudden that slide feels like a real uphill run in rain, and it's not a lot of fun. So, we talked last week, I think, about the importance of getting off to good starts and not playing from behind. They didn't do that Sunday, but they were up 2-0 going into the fifth inning with Hagen on Friday, and that was – or on Saturday night, and that was the game that probably tilted everything against them.
The tension convention is what you're describing here.
That's right.
Yep. You brought it up last week. We could feel it too. It's, you got to have something that breaks that tension, you know, and I thought a 2-0 lead would do that, but it doesn't. It's throwing the scoreless inning after the 2-0 lead that breaks the tension. And that's what I was saying to myself after he got on the mound. It's like, oh, throw a zero here, man, please. Got to break that tension, and it just didn't happen. Hey, I'm in on the Pirates right now. I've decided to go in on the Pirates. I don't know if it's because out of boredom or out of real belief that maybe they're worth some of my attention. But hey, when I see Paul Skeens pitching the way that he's pitching right now, and the division they play in too is a reason why. I think that's 5 teams all within 7 games here in early June. It feels like maybe that could be like an entertaining division to watch. I think, do I have real reason to maybe, you know, believe in my major league team right now?
Yes, you need to be optimistic, because they don't always have this wave of talent coming through. And I was watching last night, Skeens, that MLB Network picked up the game, and I've got a Dodger game next week, so I was watching them. But it was fun to watch Skeens go after Ohtani and Mookie Betts and whatnot. But I got excited seeing the crowd, and there may have been quite a few Dodger fans there, but it was a great crowd for a midweek game at PNC. The team's got some good young pitchers and good young players, and they probably aren't as talented as some of the teams, but you're right, they're in a good division. There's a little bit of momentum behind them. You need to be in on that team.
All right, so maybe I'll get in on it at some point. I don't have a plan to go watch them yet, but we'll see. Got a lot of time on hand here, and I'm just used to watching baseball by now, so that's why I went to see the Travelers yesterday. You're a guy that's at ball games, football games, basketball games, softball games, soccer games. What the heck do you do with your time in the summer? And how many baseball games will you attend? Because I think that's part of the answer.
Yeah, a lot, right? I've got my schedule in front of me, and it's a grid. So Saturday I start the Perfect Game Junior National Showcase, and that's a week-long effort, albeit remotely. And in between, I'm flying to L.A., and I'm working the Dodgers-Rangers game as a sideline guy next Wednesday on MLB Network, and I've got to cram that into 7 days of youth baseball. But I'm looking at my grid. Even I have Pittsburgh at St. Louis next week. See, you need to be there. That was one that I'm going to miss out on. The Yankees are in Kansas City next week, and then start cramming in a few more games. I try and get to all the big league stadiums within 7-8 hours. St. Louis, Kansas City, Texas, Houston, whatnot, and Colorado. And then I've got an Appy League All-Star game, and I've got an RBI World Series at Vero Beach, and I've got some showcases for Perfect Game in Atlanta. So whether you're 11 years old or 41, I'm probably going to watch you play at some point.
Hey, Brett, those showcases, like the perfect game showcases, I've heard the Arkansas coaches tell me about those. I mean, it's like a week with, what is it, 7 or 8 games that they're watching each day? It's just, I don't know. I mean, I know you're out there scouting talent in a lot of cases, and these kids, you know, some of them are kids that you'll be calling games for in the SEC at some point, and some of them will get to the big leagues. But that's these complex tournaments that they play in, I know that they're all the rage and have been for a while now. It's it just seems like it's a lot going on.
Well, it's a lot. I mean, this is the best of the best, and these will be juniors to be, and then later on the summer they'll be seniors to be. And there's a lot of future Razorbacks, which is, for me, is fun. And you're right, there's a lot of former or future SEC players, and we can kind of see them when they're 14, 15, 16, and whatnot. But they'll do a skills day. They'll run 60s. They'll throw from the outfield or infield or catch. They'll take BP. And then they'll play a couple of games. And, you know, usually see pretty good pitching. So it's kind of the wave of what we've seen over the last decade. But for me, it's fun because there are a handful of future Razorbacks that'll be part of it or other very good players. And, you know, you got to see Mike Trout before he became Mike Trout. For us, you know, in these youth events, it's trying to see the next Hagen Smith before we know who he is or all about at the college level. So it's fun, and it kind of keeps me busy when I'm not bouncing around for other kids' games or other baseball games.
On that vein, too, I mean, I know a lot of the Arkansas coaches will be at some of these games, too, because, I mean, look, the draft is coming up. It's what, about 5 weeks? This is such an important time. You know, I'm not going to throw this as a positive that, you know, the coaches don't have to worry about games this weekend so they can go recruit. I don't believe that. But, I mean, this is a crazy time for college coaches. The portal's open. Anybody can leave your program right now if they want to. You can go get guys. And then for a program like Arkansas, you routinely, you got to be worried about like half or more than half of your incoming recruiting class getting poached by the major leagues. And, you know, you're trying to talk to those kids and see where they are as far as, you know, what they're thinking.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, last year I was at the National Showcase, which was seniors to be, and it was in August, and it was at the Diamondbacks Park in Phoenix. LSU had several guys. I mean, you know, 6, 7, 8 guys part of this event, and I saw Jay Johnson there, and I'm like, how many of you guys are you going to get to campus? And, you know, he kind of rolls his eyes and looks, and he's wondering the same thing, but he's there to see his kids and show his support, and there's other college coaches that are bouncing around wondering the same thing. Are they going to be able to keep these guys or not? And then kind of get a good look at them against absolutely the best competition they have faced up until the point they get to campus. And, you know, it's not uncommon for me to see Nate Thompson or Matt Hobbs or some of the other guys around at some of these showcases with 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds. And, you know, it's kind of fun.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by BetOnline.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.